This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:35 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Keith Kam. In half an hour, we have the opening bell where we check out how Bursa Malaysia begins the trading day. But before that, let's talk about labor and the economy. I think it's well acknowledged that Malaysia has a structural problem when it comes to labor, wages and availability of jobs. One avenue being seriously explored is whether elevating technical and vocational education and training, better known as TVET, can help resolve the disconnect. In relation to this, the Human Resources Ministry said that it's ready to take on the responsibility of restructuring TVET programs in the country.
This comes after Bayan Lepas MP Sim Zee Zin suggested that free education should be provided for those who study science and technology at universities, as well as those who pursue TVET training. Sim touched on the issue of wages, stating that the starting salary of a STEM graduate should be set at 4,000 ringgit, while those with TVET training should be offered a minimum wage of 2,500. So is raising salaries a viable solution? Would making education free increase more interest among the youth to pursue such a field, or is the issue deeper and more to do with the availability of jobs as well as a lack of infrastructure?
So helping us to tease out the issues at play is Dr. Niaz Asadullah, Southeast Asia Lead at the Global Labour Organization, and he's also a professor of economics at Monash University, Malaysia. Niaz, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. So I want to start with the suggestion that was made for the government to essentially subsidise STEM and TVET education as a way of encouraging more youth to participate in these sectors. What would it entail for the government to actually pursue this as a policy?
Thank you for having me. So there is this suggestion to offer free education for those studying STEM and TVET in Malaysia. And it is inspired partly by the fact that many high-income countries where TVET graduates do very well in the labor market offer such education for free. And this in turn creates an illusion that making TVET education free will solve Malaysia's problem of supplying graduates in this sector, as if our TVET degrees are not affordable compared to the benefit that they offer. But the reality is quite the opposite. The government already spends 11% of the entire education sector budget on TVET. So it is really not about throwing more money. And there is already concern about Malaysia's high debt GDP. So we need to be careful about new fiscal adventure when we are trying to find a solution for how to fix our TVET problem.
So will providing free education necessarily ensure take up?
The answer is that countries that offer free education also offer very high quality education. So it's not just about the cost, it's also about the benefit. And unless we solve the latter, making access to second-rated education is not going to boost demand.
Okay, so you really talk about making TVET attractive to those who want to take it up. And I guess that would involve the question of wages. Politicians have noted that the starting salaries of TVET graduates is low and should be elevated. Could you maybe walk us through the factors that impact how wages are set in Malaysia for those with TVET training? And then how can we promote wage growth without pushback from employers?
Thank you. So there is, again, this general concern that Malaysian employers do not reward employees based on their productivity. And this has been a matter of debate when it came to our minimum wage, that it is just too low, it should be increased. And in that context, there is this debate about STEM graduates and TVET graduates also not being duly rewarded. But again, you know, it kind of raises this concern that the labor market is not competitive, our employers are not, you know, appropriating, valuing productive workers. But again, you know, I would bring up the concern from the employer side that it is about unsatisfactory quality. You know, without adjustment in quality, demand for better wages is not going to be materialized. And for this reason, in some countries, again, what government does is instead of imposing certain conditions on employers in terms of certain wage rate for certain type of graduates in the labor market, they would offer tax incentives and grants to incentivize companies to hire STEM graduates. But they would do that at the same time when investing in the quality of graduates to make sure that there are visible improvements in the quality of the employees that employers would hire from the STEM and TVET sector.
But at the same time, the Human Resources Minister, V. Sivakumar, he has said that the electrical and electronics industry is in dire need of workers with nearly a million vacancies. And these include engineers, technicians and factory staff. So why is there this mismatch between graduates and the jobs that are available?
So that's the other side of the puzzle. If you think about it, if there is really a shortage, our TVET and STEM graduates should be enjoying a wage premium because there's a scarcity of this type of workers. So surely it's not about the supply. Employers have routinely highlighted the issue of mismatch, and the skill gap is more than a lack of engineering skills. The mismatch is also about lack of soft skills needed to work in an international collaborative setting in a country where our E&E sector is export-oriented, we have international clients, MNCs. So therefore, it requires more than technical knowledge to thrive as an engineer in those contexts. And that's where, again, we have a challenge. Mm.
We have the Prime Minister, Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim, calling for MNCs and big companies to help cover the funding of TVET in the country. I mean, do you see opportunities for more public-private partnership to facilitate or promote the take-up of TVET? And what kind of, I guess, models or what kind of a business engagement have you seen effective towards this end?
Well, I can see where the Prime Minister is coming from. Essentially, these are calls to innovate market-driven solutions that are inclusive, where we come up with new institutional arrangements, including employers throughout the whole process, not just employment, but also pre-employment training stage. But I should also put this in context that such calls are not new. A couple of years ago, the Ministry of Education signed MOUs with big industry players in Malaysia, such as TopGlove, to ensure that TVET and STEM graduates would have better access to internship opportunities, gainful employment, and scholarship. And thousands of graduates and TVET students have been actually benefiting from such schemes. But I should also raise another side of the challenge, that it's not just about approaching industry players to make our TVET training regime more inclusive. There are also major gaps in implementation and execution. So currently there are 87 TVET colleges in Malaysia, but then there are as many as seven ministries involved in the implementation of various TVET schemes. And so this does raise issues of governance, policy coordination. And the other issue is that there are also other good examples to promote graduate employability. So think of the Structured Industry Apprenticeship Program run by MIDA. And again, but the problem is that we have many of these innovative programs, but we don't actually evaluate them properly, so that when we are in the need to scale up, we don't really quite know what works and what doesn't, and therefore whether we are spending public money on the winning idea.
Dr. Niaz, I just want to rewind back, and I'm just curious to see what sort of incentive do we need to get the younger generation more interested in TVET before in TVET? What needs to change in our education system?
So, yes, that's another popular explanation for why, TVET isn't working in Malaysia, because youths are not interested. Mm-hmm. And when we look at other successful countries such as Germany, up to 2/3 of secondary school students opt for TVET STEM track, and that's not the case in Malaysia. So one, therefore, concern is that we should make TVET sexy and cool, and maybe we should make science education fun. But again, you know, that takes us back to the root of the problem, which is the quality of our foundational education system. As we speak, Malaysia has been stuck in the bottom one third of the global distribution of student performance in maths and sciences. So therefore, unless we fix our foundational stage gaps in science and maths education quality, we can't expect to get youths excited in further STEM education. So we certainly have an image problem. To get our youths excited, to make sure that they take TVET as not just a second choice degree, but as a first choice degree, we have to convince them that it's an enjoyable experience and it is rewarded in the labor market.
Niaz, I think you've raised lots of really valid points and just interesting, factors to consider. What I'm hearing, though, is that none of this involves short-term solutions, right? These are all long-term solutions. And in the meantime, we will have to adjust to a period of pain in the labor market where this mismatch continues.
Correct. This is the budget season, so you have to understand why there is plenty of short-term solutions. Mm-hmm. And there is, I think, also an election coming up. So therefore, there are all these popular ideas on the table. But I absolutely agree with you that we must not lose sight of the long-term structural struggle against our, you know, TVET education system.
Niaz, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Dr. Niaz Asadullah, Southeast Asia Lead at the Global Labour Organization, commenting on Malaysia's TVET education system, what are the gaps, and what are some of the issues that need to be looked at in order for it to really gain traction.
I'm really all for making maths and science sexy and cool, actually. I'm a maths nerd. I love doing sums. I love doing algebra and all these puzzles. And maybe there might be some way to encourage the young to get into this and feel really empowered by this as well.
I'm sure. And I'm sure there are many people out there who would love to hear more of your ideas on how to make math sexy. But I think one of the things that really struck me from speaking to Niaz is just how everything is part of a bigger puzzle, and you can't change one thing without changing another part also to work in tandem. So you can make you can make the education sexy and enjoyable, mm-hmm. but at the same time, you also have to ensure that the jobs available after that are proportionate to, I suppose, the effort that's being put in. So it really is a lot of different levers that need to be pulled at the same time for the structural labor issue to be resolved.
This is when the chicken and egg have to arrive together.
Exactly. There we go. 8:48 in the morning. We're heading into some messages. But when we come back, we're going to discuss what's coming out of the meeting between BFFs, Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.